chapter 10, verse number 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law, and how readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Verse number 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus," this is interesting, "and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." What a sad verse that is. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side." Verse number 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." I'm going to read a verse out of Jude, verse number 22. "And of some have compassion, making a difference." I'm going to preach a message to you guys tonight that I preached on Sunday morning to our folks. I had the old-fashioned soul winning Sunday at Victory Baptist Church, and I preached a message called Compassion Makes the Difference. Compassion makes the difference. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you tonight. God, I ask that you would help me, Lord. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know how nervous I am. Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as I stand in Pastor Jerry's place, Lord, tonight behind this pulpit, Lord, what an honor it is, Lord, to be able to stand in this pulpit, Lord, and what a tremendous preacher Pastor Jerry is, Lord, and pastor he is. Lord, thank you for allowing me to work here under him. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as I stand here tonight, Lord, preaching to his folks tonight, God, I pray that you would help me, Lord, to be a help to them, Lord, and a blessing to them. Lord, pray that you would teach us some things from your word tonight. And God, I pray that you would just meet with us in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. You drink of water. All right, here we go. I love this portion of scripture. You guys know this portion here. This passage is the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm not going to retell the story. We just read it. You guys know it. But Jesus here, he answers this man's question, this lawyer, this intellectual guy. He answers his questions with a parable. Jesus says this. He said, a man's on his journey, basically, and from Jerusalem to Jericho. And while he was on that journey, some robbers came and robbed him, beat him up, took everything that he had. They beat him up. They left him there on the side of the road to die. A priest comes walking by. And this priest is one that probably should have been, according to his office, should have helped this man and saw this man's need, helped this man, but he did not. The Bible says this priest comes down the road, and the Bible says when the priest saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road. Well, that's a nice thing for a pastor, a priest to do, isn't it? See somebody in need, pass by on the other side, and maybe turned his nose up. Maybe he said, psh, I'm not helping that guy. I don't know what he did, but anyway, he passed by on the other side. A short while later, a Levite comes by, and again, his office would make you think that he would be somebody that would help this man. But again, here, this Levite, the Bible actually says he looked on him. So I don't know. I might find up when I get up to heaven that I'm wrong. But I actually think he's walking by. He sees this man. He stops and he maybe looks at him for a few minutes or maybe a few moments there, and then he maybe makes a conscious decision. You know what? I'm not going to help this guy. I'm just going to keep on walking by, and he walks by too. Bible then says that a Samaritan comes along and sees this man. Now, ordinarily, a Samaritan would not have been the expected person to help this guy in need. He would not be one that folks would have said, well, hey, if any of these three folks are going to help him, it would be the Samaritan. That would not be the Samaritan, all right? That would have been the priest or the Levite, all right? But in this case, Jesus said that a Samaritan walks by, and he sees the man. He had compassion on him, the Bible says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. The Bible says that this Samaritan put him on his own animal, his own beast, and took him to an inn where he cared for him. Listen, folks, this is why when maybe you do something kind or do something good for somebody, they will maybe say to you, thank you for being a good Samaritan. This is where that comes from, all right? But anyway, in this story, we have a perfect example of compassion. A perfect example of compassion. I want to spend the first part of the message tonight defining the word compassion, and then at the end, I'm going to give you some applications, and then we'll go home, all right? Now, let me say this before I start defining this word for you, and it'll probably take me about 10 minutes to define it, all right? And you guys will see as we go through, it's not just probably what you think compassion is, all right? There's a lot more to it, all right? But before I get into that definition, the word compassion throughout the Bible is a tremendous, tremendous study. You ought to do that study, all right? I started on it this past week when I was working on it for Victory, And I couldn't even get through it, man. I mean, I had to basically go into my pulpit Sunday morning with half of this study done. But listen, folks, there was so much, I probably could have had two or three messages, right? But anyway, the word compassion is a wonderful study throughout the Bible. Tonight, I'm going to give you the main definition and a few thoughts about it. But if you want to understand the full meaning of this compassion, study it out through the Bible. Get your concordance and just go and have a good time with it, all right? But let's define this word compassion, all right? What is compassion? In Jude, it says, and I read this verse, and of some have compassion, making a difference. That word compassion comes from two Greek words, actually, two different Greek words. The first word compassion comes from is eleo, E-L-E-E-O, which literally means to show kindness or mercy to someone, all right? And it means to show kindness or mercy by assistance, all right? That basically means kindness in action or mercy in action. I looked up the word compassion just out of curiosity in Webster's Dictionary, and a lot of times I don't like to necessarily take a dictionary and define a Bible word. I like to define a Bible word with the Bible. Does that make sense, guys? Hey, listen, I'm getting tired of these guys trying to define Bible words with dictionaries instead of taking the Bible and defining words in it, you know, with the Bible, but that's a different sermon, all right? But anyway, I did look up, in this case, compassion in Webster's Dictionary and found this definition I thought was interesting. Sympathetic consciousness of others' distresses together with a desire to alleviate it. Isn't that interesting? Sympathetic consciousness of others' distresses together with a desire to alleviate it. So compassion first is the idea of recognizing a need, having compassion for the need, for the one in need, and then working to meet or to alleviate that person, that need that that person has. It's mercy in action. And let me just say this, folks. You know what? We ought to be Christians of compassion. We ought to have a compassionate spirit, a compassionate attitude about us. I mean towards other church members. I mean looking for needs of other church members. Listen, folks, you know what? There's folks sitting in your pew tonight that have needs that maybe God wants to use you to fulfill, all right? I mean towards the lost. I mean within our families. I mean towards those in need, all right? We ought to see their need, then have compassion and work to meet that need. But there's another word for compassion that helps us to understand maybe a little bit better the full meaning, and this is where it gets interesting, all right? This is where I really started getting excited in the Bible and studying this thing out. The other Greek word is this, and I'm going to butcher this, I can tell you right now, all right? The word is, I'm going to spell it, G-K-H-N-O-N. Splanknon. Did it sound all right? Splanknon, all right? Splanknon. Wow, it's amazing what you learn in church, all right? The literal meaning of this root word is this. Listen to this. It is bowels, meaning the inward parts of your body, such as the heart, the lungs, the liver, and the upper intestines. The verb form of this word is even more difficult to pronounce. This word is, oh my goodness, this is going to be interesting. Splanknizomai. You guys didn't know I could speak Greek. Ah, you guys learned something. Splanknizomai, all right? Or splanknizomahi or something, I don't know. But anyway, the verb form of this word literally means this. Now, this is what I want you to listen to, all right? You are affected in your inner bowels by your sympathetic feelings, all right? I took these two definitions, prayed about it, thought about it. Here is from the Word of God, my definition, the way I choose, not choose, but I have decided from the Word of God to define compassion. Compassion is this: being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you are moved to help them outwardly. Amen. I want you to think about that. Compassion is being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you are moved to help them outwardly. All right? Folks, listen, compassion is how this Samaritan who was passing down the road, compassion is how this Samaritan made a difference in the life of this helpless man who was on the side of the road dying. All right, that's how he made a difference, all right? He was so moved with mercy and sympathy inwardly towards this man that he was moved to help him outwardly. The priest and the Levite came through, and they saw this man in need, but they didn't do anything about it. They just left him there, all right? They didn't do anything about it. Don't miss this. Compassion is an action, not a feeling. Did you get that? Compassion is an action, not a feeling, all right? Compassion is not merely an emotion. Well, I feel sorry for you. That's not what compassion is, all right? That might be a little bit a part of it, but that's not truly what compassion is. Compassion is recognizing a need, having mercy for the one in need, and then personally helping to meet that need. Having compassion is how we are going to make a difference in the lives of others for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by compassion, all right? Compassion makes the difference between bus workers truly reaching the folks on their route for Christ or just bribing folks to come to church with prizes and promotions. Compassion is what makes that difference. Do you guys understand that, all right? Compassion is what makes the difference between seeing that person saved or just handing them a tract and giving them a half-hearted salvation presentation. Compassion makes the difference, all right? Compassion is being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you're moved to help them outwardly. Now, let me give you a couple examples throughout the Word of God where this splanknizomai or whatever is found, all right? I want to give you a couple examples of this and help us further define this word compassion, all right? And I'm just going to give you a couple. Listen, folks, there are probably 20 to 25 different verses that use this word that we can help define the word compassion. I'm only going to give you a couple, all right? The first one is this. The word splanknizomai is used talking about the master in the parable in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 27 says this. You guys remember the story. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, splanknizomai, all right, and loosed him and forgave him that debt. Here you have a servant that owes a debt to his master that he can't pay. All right? And this master has compassion on him, splanknizomai, all right? He has compassion on him, and you know what he does? He forgives him his debt. Forgave it. Loosed him from it. He didn't have to pay it anymore, all right? This story illustrates God's compassion, folks, towards you and I, and I want you to think about this. You guys understand that we were all sinners, and we all owed a sin debt that was too great for us to pay? You guys understand that? Listen, folks, you know what? Our enormous sin debt, listen, folks, this little white lie, little nothing sin stuff is for the birds, man. All sin is despicable in God's eyes. We all owed a sin debt that was way too large for us to pay. Listen, folks, the Lamb of God, all right? The Lamb of God, our enormous sin debt required the blood sacrifice of a perfect lamb, all right? The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus came, and He paid that sin debt for us, all right? He shed His blood to pay our sin debt. There's a song that we sing over at Victory Baptist Church. We sang it down at Clay's Mill. It goes like this. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Listen, folks, you know what? I could not pay that debt on my own. I had to have the spotless, sinless Lamb of God pay that debt for me. You know what? Jesus paid that debt. You ought to thank God for that, all right? You ought to thank God that Jesus did pay that debt. So compassion is being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you're moved to help them outwardly, all right? In this case, the master was moved with compassion to the point that he forgave the servant who owed him a debt that he could not pay. The second case I want to point out is this. The word splanknizomai, all right, was used concerning the father in the parable of the prodigal son. You guys remember that story, all right? Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, I love that, his father saw him. His father was looking for him to come home. He believed he was going to come home, all right? Here it is again. He saw him and had compassion, splanknizomai, all right, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This son here, he had left the safety of home, all right? He had left the safety of the rules. Did you hear that? He left the safety of the rules. He left the safety of the rules and went to the world, all right? He spent all his substance on wicked and riotous living, the Bible tells us. He found himself in a hog pen. And when you leave the safety of the rules, that's where you're going to find yourself, all right? But anyway, he was there in the hog pen ready to eat pig slop when he remembered home. He remembered home. Hey, you know what? Hey, them servants down that my father has, you know what? They eat better than I'm eating right now. They're clothed better than I'm clothed right now. They got a roof over their head. All right, listen, folks, he remembered home, all right? The prodigal son here, this prodigal son, he heads home. The Bible says when he was a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion, splanknizomai, on him, all right, and ran to meet him. The prodigal son, his father here illustrates God's compassion to the backslider and to the lost man. Hey, listen, folks, you know what? If you're backslidden tonight, you know what? You need to head home. You need to head. Hey, you know what? How do you tell if you're backslidden? Hey, if you're not closer right now to the Lord Jesus Christ than you've ever been in your entire life, you know what? You're backslidden. All right? If you're not as close to Him right now as you've ever been in your entire life from here on back, you know what? If you're not close to Him right now, you're backslidden. And you know what? You need to head home. You need to get out of the hog pen, all right? Head home, all right? But if you're lost, you know what? You need to get on the right team, like Brother Reiser preached on Sunday. Man, get on the right team. Get saved, all right? You know what? If you do, if you make that decision, head home, you know what? The Father's going to be running to meet you, man. I mean, he's going to be gladly accepting you back, all right? But this word splagnidzomahi is used in both of these instances, giving us a better idea of this word compassion, all right? Compassion is being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you're moved to help them outwardly. And then in the first verse we looked at, it said that compassion is forgiving those who have done us wrong. Did you guys say that's what compassion is? Forgiving those who've done us wrong. This master, he forgave his servant who had done him wrong. He hadn't paid his debt. He forgave him of that wrong that was done to him. The second thing we looked at was, you know what? It's forgiving and restoring to fellowship those who've gone astray and then repented and come back. All right? You know what? That's compassion. You know what? How often does somebody maybe go out? And you know what? They go out and they sow some oats out there. And you know what? Whenever they come back, whenever they come to their self, whenever they come to the hog pen and they return home, you know what? How often do we want to sit there and criticize them? That's not compassionate. All right. True compassion then is forgiving and restoring to fellowship those who have gone astray and come back. I hope that whets your appetite to go home and study out this word compassion throughout the Bible. Listen, folks, that was just two verses that have this splanknidzamahi compassion word in it. All right. There's like 18 or 20 or 22 other ones in the Bible. All right. Go home and study it out. All right. But tonight we're talking about this compassion that makes a difference. All right. When we also talk about compassion, you guys know that the Word of God talks a lot about Jesus' compassion. Listen, folks, Jesus' compassion originated with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the word splanknidzamahi is used in Matthew 9:36, talking about Jesus' compassion towards the multitudes. You guys remember that? Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, there it is again, on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The word is also used concerning Jesus' compassion towards those with sicknesses and ailments. This is interesting too, all right? Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion, there it is again, towards them, and he healed their sick. The word is also used concerning Jesus' compassion towards those in bereavement. Have a death in your family. You know what? Lord Jesus has compassion towards you. Listen to this verse. The widow of Nain, she lost her son. Jesus had compassion on her. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. So compassion is being, again, so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you're moved to help them outwardly. It's forgiving those who've done us wrong. It's forgiving and restoring to fellowship those who have gone astray but return with a repentant heart. It's showing mercy towards those with sicknesses and ailments. It's showing comfort to those going through bereavement. Listen, folks, those are just some basic definitions of the word compassion, all right? But tonight, like I said, we're preaching on compassion makes a difference. Listen, folks, the truth of the matter is this. In our world today, you know what? Our world needs to see from Christians some true compassion. They need to see some true compassion. We live in an absolutely apathetic and indifferent society today. I mean, I'm talking apathetic and indifferent, folks. No, I mean, folks don't care about anything but themselves. If you guys ain't noticed that, you ain't been around very long, all right? Listen, folks, you know what? I mean, folks don't care about anybody else but themselves and theirs and their, I mean, that's it, all right? I read this story recently of a man who was, I think this was in Chicago. I'm not sure of the place, but I think it was in Chicago. A mailman was delivering mail in this skyscraper, and a sniper from another building shot him in the skyscraper. A man shoot, he's shot in the skyscraper. The man who was shot is obviously in need of some immediate medical attention. All right, he's been shot by a sniper scope, all right, and rifle. All right, instead of somebody in the building helping him, the custodians and the security guards in the building came and they escorted the man out of the building. Don't miss this. Because he was getting blood on the carpet, on the tile, and on the floor, on the carpet. Wow. They told him to get out. They wouldn't help. They had no call to 911. No medical aid at all. Nothing. Get out of the building. You're getting blood on the floor. I mean, talk about apathetic. Talk about indifferent, all right? Listen, folks, that's what it is, all right? Indifference, selfishness. The sad thing is, though, you know what? This is interesting, too. The Chicago Tribune, this is free, all right? The Chicago Tribune, they caught on to these type of stories in the news. They have in their archives a tab entitled Apathy. just for these type of stories, all right? So listen, folks, this isn't just a one-time thing, you know, by chance. This is something that they have already now a tab in their archives where they're archiving these types of stories, all right? But to listen, folks, you know what? The sad thing is this is the predominant attitude in our world today. And you know what? The bad thing about it is it's infiltrated our churches and it's infiltrated Christians' lives. All right, listen, Christians and churches are only concerned about themselves. What we need is some good old-fashioned Bible compassion once again. All right, tonight I want to give you three words that will help you remember how you can show true compassion to this world. All right, three words that will help you remember how you can show true compassion to this world. In our text passage in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gave us a threefold picture of compassion. The Samaritan, first of all, he saw this man in need. Number two, he went to this man. Number three, he helped this man. In Luke chapter 10, verse 33, let me read it again. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. All right? The same three things are found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus was talking about, when that was talking about compassion and Jesus and the multitudes, right? Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. He had his disciples then pray for laborers to help win the lost, right? Let me give you these three words that will help you to show forth true Bible compassion, and then we'll be done, all right? If we're going to make a difference, listen, folks, if we're going to make a difference, and listen, folks, I just said listen, folks, twice, all right? Pay attention right here, all right? I mean this. This is important stuff right here, all right? If we're going to make a difference, wow, that was dumb. Sometimes I catch the stupid stuff I say when I'm doing it. Other times I just catch it when I'm going back and putting it on the internet. But anyway, then I get to laugh about it real bad in my office. Wow. Get this, all right? If we're going to make a difference for the cause of Christ in our town, you know what? We have to do these three things. Number one is this, visualize. Visualize. That's the word number one, visualize. Visualization is the first ingredient to Bible compassion. The Lord in Matthew chapter 18 saw the pathetic and the hopeless state of his servant who could not pay his debt. He saw him. The prodigal's father saw his son coming home after he had spent all the substance. The Good Samaritan saw this helpless man. Jesus saw the lack of direction and the lost state of the wandering multitudes. Compassion is always prompted by vision. Compassion is always prompted by vision. Always. I want you to think about this verse. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. You probably have it memorized. Where there is no vision, the people perish. True Bible compassion that makes a difference in folks' lives starts with a vision. The Lord Jesus challenged his disciples in John chapter 4 to visualize the harvest of souls that were past ripe and ready to perish. He challenged them. John chapter 4, verse 35. Listen to this. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to get his disciples to visualize the need of lost souls needing the Lord. That's what he was trying to do. All right? Visualize these. What we need to do is visualize lost folks in their spiritual poverty, see their inner turmoil, their hopelessness, their lack of peace and joy and purpose and security. Listen, folks, you know what? Here's something that I like to do when I drive through over in Bloomfield. You know what I like to do? I like to drive by and I like to see those houses and see those people out on the streets. And you know what? I picture them burning in hell. I don't know if they're saved. You want to visualize something? Visualize that lost family member. Visualize your neighbor burning in hell. We got to see folks in their need, all right, so that our hearts can be moved with compassion. Let me tell you a story. While on furlough from missionary service in Africa, a man named Robert Moffat, missionary Robert Moffat, spoke in England about his mission work. In the audience one night as he was speaking and telling about his mission work, there was a young medical student. He had a desire to serve the Lord on the mission field in China, but up until this particular time, this land of China had been closed. There was no missionaries allowed to go in there. This young man listened as Mr. Moffat, this missionary from Africa, described a frequent sight in Africa that deeply moved him. He said this, and I quote, "There is a vast plain to the north where I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." These words that night tore at the heart of that young medical student. The smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. And this was the challenge that he was looking for in his desire to reach the unreached. Filled with a new vision, this young medical student went to Mr. Moffat after the service and asked, "What would I do for Africa? How can I make a difference in Africa?" This student was David Livingston. David Livingston. You know what David Livingston got that night? You know what he got? He got a vision. He visualized lost souls in Africa that needed the Savior. That's what he did. He visualized it. True compassion starts with a vision. I have a book on my desk over at Victory right now. It's a book called I Saw the Welsh Revival. I Saw the Welsh Revival. Pastor Fugit actually down in Lexington when I was in school. He had us read that and do a report on it in school. And I've read it 3 times since I got out of college just because it's an interesting book and I love it. It challenges my heart. But it's called I Saw the Welsh Revival. That book talks about a man named Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts got a vision for the country of Wales at the turn of the 20th century. And God used Evan Roberts to win thousands in the great Welsh Revival at the turn of the 20th century. True compassion that makes a difference in the world for Christ takes a vision, all right? Visualizing. Most folks, listen folks, they stop when they see the need. That's when they stop. But listen folks, you know what? True compassion goes beyond that. Number two is this. Agonize. I want you guys to think about this. It isn't enough just to see the need. It isn't enough just to see the need. What you have to do is you have to put yourself in their shoes. You got to put yourself in their shoes. Listen, folks, picture that lost one burning in hell. When you see them, you know what? And then agonize with them. You know what? You're going to witness to them. You're going to pray for them. Picture that son or daughter maybe who is struggling with the world. You know what? Picture their life wrecked and ruined by sin. When you picture them in that state, you know what? You're going to pray for them. You're going to do everything that you can to encourage them. All right? Listen, folks, I'm telling you here. You know what? You're going to fast for them. Allow your vision to supply you with a burden. This will cause you to be moved with compassion. Don't miss this statement. Man, this is good. This is good. Don't miss this, all right? Recognizing a need and never attempting to relieve the need is not compassion, but selfishness. Recognizing a need and never attempting to relieve the need is not compassion, but selfishness. Seeing a need and going right along with what you were doing is selfishness, just like the priest and the Levite who passed by the man on the side of the road. Well, Brother Gerald, you know what? They could have helped the guy. They could have stopped for maybe 5 minutes and helped this guy that was in need, but you know what? They kept right on by. They didn't do anything about it. You know what? Man, they're so selfish. Can't believe how selfish they are. Those guys are selfish. So are we. So are we. We fail to share the gospel with folks. We won't give a tract maybe to the lady that hands us our food at McDonald's. You know what I call that? Selfish. Selfish. You know what? I had what that lady needed, and I drove in my big old four-wheel drive loud pickup truck right on out of that parking lot. Didn't help that lady with her need. You know what I call that? Selfish. Selfish. So are we when we won't show up at one of the regional soul winning meetings on Saturday? When in reality, we probably could. Well, I got this and 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 this to do today. Do you really? I mean, could you maybe put some of that stuff off and go soul winning on Saturday morning? Listen, folks, you know what? Hey, man, Pastor Jerry's got a vision to reach this town and this community. You know what? And listen, man, Blessed Hope is a lighthouse. I'm not trying to harp on you, man. I'm just the third string guy right tonight. But listen, folks, you know what? The fact of the matter is we could all be doing better. We could all be doing better. There are more. Hey, listen, is all of Jasonville saved? No, man, we're far from it. Is all of Hymera and Sullivan and all these other communities around here, are all the folks saved? No, they're still in need, all right? Listen, folks, recognizing a need and never attempting to relieve the need is not compassion, rather selfishness. We're selfish when we have the capacity to help someone, but we don't. We're selfish when there is an opportunity to serve at the church and we have the ability and the availability and the capacity to serve, but we stay home to do whatever it is that we want to do that night. Now listen, folks, I know I'm putting the jelly on the bottom shelf, all right? But the fact of the matter is, you know what? It's easy to point our finger at the Levite and the priest. But you know what? What we need to do is start pointing the finger at ourselves. Because you know what? Most of the time, we're selfish, all right? We just pass on by. There's folks in need, we just pass on by. Listen, folks, why are we here anyway? Are we here just to make a bunch of money and spend a bunch of money? Is that why God put us here? No, listen, folks, you know what? The fact of the matter is there are folks that God has put us here in Jasonville. Listen, folks, Jasonville's not a booming economy.
I mean, good night. Have you driven through town lately, all right? Jacksonville is not a booming economy, all right? You did not move to Jacksonville to get rich, all right? If you did, hey, you need to move somewhere else, all right? It's probably not going to happen here. But anyway, listen, folks, you know what? The fact of the matter is God has placed Pastor Jerry and Grandpa Ross here in Jacksonville and at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? And you folks here in this church to win the lost and to encourage those that are struggling and to lift up the fallen. You know what? That's why he moved me up here to Bloomfield from Lexington. That's why he moved me up here. He didn't move me up here to get rich. He didn't move me up here to win friends and influence people. That's not why he moved me up here. You know what? There's folks over there. You know what? We had three folks saved 2 weeks ago. Had them baptized this past Sunday. That's why we come up here. To win folks and to teach them the Word of God. That's why we moved up here, all right? Listen, folks, think about it. We see and come in contact with folks in need every single day. I mean, folks who need the gospel. I mean, folks who need encouragement. I mean, folks who need a smile maybe on your face instead of a stinking frown, all right? Man, stop frowning, all right? You're getting off a poor testimony as a Christian, all right? Man, get a smile on your face. Even if you have to fake it, hey, man, you know what? Hey, you can learn something from Joel Osteen. Just smile all the time, right? I know you're having it rough, right? Hey, listen, that's the only thing you can learn from Joel Osteen, too, all right, by the way. That's the only thing you take from him, man. Put a smile on your face. You know what? Hey, you know what? You don't know how you're encouraging maybe somebody that needed just a smile and a Christian and somebody to say, you know what? Hey, how you doing today? I prayed for you today. There's folks that need a blessing instead of need a headache, all right? We meet folks every day with legitimate needs, and yet so often we just pass on by doing whatever it is that's more important to us rather than obeying the Word of God and being compassionate, all right? It's time we visualize the need and then agonize over the need. Recognizing a need and never attempting to relieve it is not compassion, rather selfishness. Listen to this verse in 1 John chapter 3. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, don't miss this, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Compassion is being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you are moved to help them outwardly. True compassion, listen folks, that's true compassion. Moses agonized over his people. Moses agonized. Exodus chapter 32, verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You know what he had? He had compassion towards his people. He agonized. Jeremiah agonized. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. All right, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. The Apostle Paul agonized. Romans chapter 9, verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. He wasn't self-centered. He wasn't one of these selfish kind of guys, all right? For my kinsmen according to the flesh. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, all right? You know what he did? He visualized the need, and then he agonized over the need. Jesus agonized over Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under his wings, and ye would not. Listen, folks, if we're truly going to make a difference in the lives of those around us that God brings across our path, you know what? We have to have compassion. We must have a spirit-conceived compassion. You know what? That type of compassion, that type of this splunknit zamahi compassion, this inward compassion to where you want to do something and affect somebody's life. You know what? That is what made John Knox cry, give me scullin' or I die. It was the heartbeat of George Whitefield who exclaimed, Lord, give me souls or take my soul. Can you imagine saying, can you imagine having a burden, a compassion for lost folks so much that you say, Lord, give me souls or take my soul? Think about having that attitude on your bus route. This fiery compassion for souls occupied David Brainerd's mind and thoughts. Listen to what David Brainerd said. I care, and this is amazing. This is almost unbelievable. I care not whether I go or how I live or what I endure so that I may save souls. When I sleep, I dream of them. When I awake, they are first in my thoughts. No amount of scholastic attainment, of able and profound exposition, of brilliant and stirring eloquence can atone for the absence of a deep, impassioned, sympathetic love of human souls. What an amazing spirit. What an amazing attitude. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that your heart was broken over lost souls? When was the last time? Seriously. Has there ever been a time? Think about it. I mean, think about it. Listen, folks, this is Wednesday night, all right? This is Wednesday night prayer meeting, all right? Think about it. Seriously, when was the last time your heart was broken over lost souls? Amen. I mean, where you couldn't eat. Where you couldn't sleep. Where you couldn't think about anything but lost souls. I remember I was in a tent revival down in Perry County, Kentucky. Pastor Fugit had tent revivals. I worked on a tent crew. We had a tent meeting in Perry County, Kentucky at the Hazard Community Park. Anybody ever been to Hazard, Kentucky before? Any takers there? Praise God. Brother Casper's been there. You know what I'm talking about, all right? Wow, good night. Different kind of people down there. Hey, they're my people, all right? That's where I'm from. Well, I'm talking about my own people. But we're at Hazard Community Park there. Pastor Fugit, we had this tent meeting. Pastor Fugit preached a message on this type of thing, not necessarily on compassion itself, but on the lost souls and their need of salvation. I remember during the invitation, man, I'm telling you what, that was one of the few times that I remember, I mean, just the Holy Spirit, I mean, getting everybody, man. I mean, you'd be in service and the Holy Spirit get maybe one or two people. But I mean, this everybody, Holy Spirit, I mean, just got them, man. And I remember Pastor Fugit said there was a bunch, I mean, it was during the middle of summer, tons and tons of people there at that park. During that invitation, you know what? He closed down the invitation. I mean, middle of the song. And he said, you know what? Let's go win somebody to Jesus. Everybody at that tent revival got gospel tracts, went down into the park, and started sharing the gospel. You know why? Had a compassion. Had a burden to win somebody. They had that burden to win lost souls, right? Listen, folks, this is what we're talking about, all right? It's called agonizing after visualizing, and that's what it's going to take to make a difference in folks' life. Compassion that makes a difference, all right? The first word that gives us to help us show true compassion is visualize. Number two is agonize. Number three, I won't be long. It'll be about another 5 or 6 minutes here, all right? Number three is this, evangelize. Evangelize. Number one, visualize. Number two, agonize. Number three, evangelize. When Jesus saw the multitude and was moved with compassion, you know what he did? He was moved to action. He was moved to action. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead. He saved the lost. Listen, folks, remember our meaning of compassion. Compassion is being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you are moved to help them outwardly. A man named T.J. Bach, this is interesting too, a man named T.J. Bach was converted while he was a student in Copenhagen, Denmark. One day before he was saved, he was walking down the street on a Sunday afternoon. As he walked along the street on Sunday, he noticed a young man crossing the street with a gospel tract in his hand. He took the tract from this young man, crushing his hand and mumbled under his breath, "Why don't people just mind their own business?" All right, you guys remember that time before you got saved? Might have had that attitude yourself, all right? This young man who gave him the tract did not respond to his negative attitude, but instead he turned aside, got on his knees, and began to pray with tears running down his face that the man he had just gave that tract to would get saved. Mr. Bach saw that and he thought, this young man has perhaps given money to buy this tract. He has given his time to distribute this tract. And now he has given his heart in prayer for me. The young man's compassion towards Mr. Bach's crude behavior brought deep conviction. Half an hour later in his room, T.J. Bach pasted the tract back together and began to read through the gospel tract. Before he finished reading the tract, he was down on his knees asking for forgiveness and asking for Jesus to save his soul. You know what happened? A young man had compassion. Amen. You know, T.J. Bach, by the way, later on, him and his wife went to Venezuela, South Africa, and won hundreds and thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Fanny Crosby summed up compassion pretty well in this hymn, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring ones. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way. Patiently wend them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died." That is true compassion that makes a difference. Listen, folks, tonight, there are folks in need all around us. I mean, all around us. And you know what? Listen, folks, I know I'll be the first to admit it. It is so easy to get preoccupied with our own lives and what we got to do and the hustle, bustle. I mean, listen, folks, it's busy. If you're a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you're actively involved, you are busy, all right? I understand that. But listen, folks, you know what? We so often just get in that selfish kind of rut that we go weeks and months and maybe even years without ever really having compassion and helping somebody in need. Without ever sharing the gospel, without ever serving in our church, maybe. What a horrible testimony of a Christian that'd be. We ought to be Christians of compassion. Let's visualize and see the need of lost folks all around us. Let's agonize in allowing our hearts to be moved with compassion. Then let's go out with a tear in our eye and a prayer in our hearts to evangelize the world. Compassion is being so affected with sympathy and mercy towards someone inwardly that you are moved to help them outwardly. Compassion is seeing those lost and without Christ and sharing the gospel and praying for them. Compassion is seeing the needs of the bus kids instead of criticizing them maybe for not living right. I had two kids in Bloomfield. Actually, I had one kid in Bloomfield. I'm sorry. One kid in Bloomfield a couple weeks ago turned in a prayer request to me. Had prayer requests on Sunday mornings. Turns in a prayer request. This was his prayer request. This is unbelievable. Absolutely tore my heart. He said, pray for a good mom. Grandpa Ross, I don't know what to do as a pastor there, brother. I mean, you talk about tough. Pray for a good mom. Could have criticized that lady for not being the mom she should have been. Not being a mom to that little kid that she should have been. We could have ignored that request, saying, you know what, there's probably not any way that we can make a difference. The next week, that family, the mom, actually came to my wife, Hannah, with a need. Our church, Lord willing, Lord allowed us to meet that need. The next Sunday, you know what, that mom was in church. Amen. You know, I'd say that's the first step towards getting that little boy a good mom. I'd say it's a pretty good step right there, right? Listen, folks, you know what, compassion, though, made the difference. We didn't criticize her. I didn't preach against her. Good night, we had compassion. Maybe there's a Christian in here who's been maybe living life that God gave you selfishly. The truth is, you know what? You've never been brokenhearted over lost souls. Let me encourage you. Start today being compassionate. You may work with lost folks. You have lost folks in your family. Pray for them. Share the gospel with them. True compassion is what will make the difference. Maybe there's a bus worker and you're in a rut. Maybe you've just been going visiting to get it done. Maybe riding the bus just because it's what you're supposed to do on Sundays. Did you know? Listen, folks, I want you to think about this. Most of the time you can't help somebody until they know that you really love them. Let that sink in, all right? Most of the time you can't really help somebody until they know that you love them. It's where compassion comes in. Some have compassion, making a difference. Look for the needs of your bus families. See the need of the gospel and the lost folks around you. Look for needs in your church. Listen, folks, we had a couple pull up here last night. Hannah and I were getting ready to go up to Terre Haute last night. We had to go up there and get supplies for a revival. A couple pulls in out here, their truck had broke down, big old Honda Ridgeline, brand new spanking truck, man, blew a transmission line. And pulls, that's going to be expensive too. But anyway, pulls up out here, and I helped them get it out there and all that stuff. And then I took them up to McCracken. He made up an appointment and stuff, and I think they got the truck up there now. I then offered to take those people that were staying at Shackamack. They lived up in Indy. They were staying at Shackamack for a little bit of vacation this week. I offered to take them out there. And listen, folks, you know what? In the 15 minutes that I was with those folks, found out they're saved. Found out they go to a Christian church up in Indy, but the next time they're in Shackamack, they come to Shackamack 3 or 4 times a year. The next time they're in town, they promise to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? Compassion made the difference with them. You bus workers. This is interesting, man. You know what? Compassion will make the difference between you just being average and doubling your bus route. Did you know that? I want you to think about this. My sister and I worked on bus routes down in Lexington for 10 years before I moved up here. She has continued my bus route down in Lexington, the Georgetown route. We had never, neither one of us, either I nor her, had ever broke 100 on our bus before. Never. We had 99 one time. And we recounted. It was worse than the election a couple times ago. It was bad, man. We recounted. We tried to drag kids. And, I mean, everything. But anyway, we had 99. This past week, my sister called me. She said, you know what? We're going to try to break 100. And she worked and worked and worked and prayed and everything else. This past Sunday, man, I can't even believe this. This past Sunday, Levi, this is insane, man. They had 127 on her bus. They had 38 first-time visitors on her bus and 10 people saved. You know what? Hey, Brother Jerry, how in the world did that happen? You know what? Yeah, the Lord did it. I understand that. Yeah, you know what? She worked hard. I mean, she worked hard. I mean, every day almost last week, out visiting. But you know what? I also know there's a little bit of compassion in there. Because you know what? Those kids in Georgetown, the last 4 years that she's been there, those kids know that Miss Stephanie loves them unconditionally and will do anything in the world for them. Compassion makes the difference. Soul winner, compassion is what makes the difference. Family member, compassion is what makes the difference between that lost soul. Listen, folks, you know what? You're heading into the last couple weeks of the fall program. Let's go out this week and make a difference for Christ by showing true Bible compassion. How do we do it? Visualize the need. See the need, all right? Agonize over the need. Don't just walk on by. Don't just walk on by. Then evangelize. Work to meet the need. This is true Bible compassion. And this is how we're going to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you tonight. God, I ask that you would help, Lord. Just a reminder, Lord, this is something that these folks know. Lord, I just wanted to maybe be a reminder of it tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless in this invitation time. Lord, maybe there's a Christian, Lord, that's been living a little bit selfish. Lord, maybe there's some needs that have arose, Lord, and they have the capacity, they have the ability, they have the even availability to be able to help that need and meet that need. But Lord, selfishly just went on by, just passed on by. Lord, I pray that you would help convict our hearts. Lord, maybe there's a lost soul in here tonight. They've never accepted Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Lord Jesus is a compassionate, compassionate Savior. If they'll turn to him, put their faith and trust in him, he'll save their soul tonight. God, I pray that you would bless in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.